Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Good morning, everyone. We have been singing about God's holiness and God's love. Those two things, and he's both of them. That he is so totally beyond all of us, everything. He made us all. And yet he's the God who comes near to us in love and cares intimately for us. And he forgives our sins, and he's amazing. So with that thought in mind, I just want to pray that we will experience God's holiness and God's love. Let's please bow and let's pray together. Oh God, we stand in awe of you. We praise you because all blessings come from you. You created and we see it around us. And we anticipate the wonderful things that are going to happen in these next weeks and months and spring and all that. And we know that you're holy and pure and good and altogether righteous and lovely. And yet you care so much about us that you sent your son, Jesus, to be our Savior, to die on the cross, to forgive our sins, that through your Holy Spirit we have life in you, life now full and life for all eternity. Lord, we gather as your people. We've had various kinds of weeks. Some have had hard things. Some have had great news. I just pray that you would be with each and everyone in whatever their situation is. For those that are gathered in this place, for those who are watching online, may your blessing truly be upon us all. In the name of Jesus, your Son, amen. Well, glad that you're all here. I'm going to dismiss the kids in just a moment when we're going to greet one another. So kids, you may go to Children's Church. Pastor Trevor's right over here. If you're new, then you follow the rest, and I'm sure they'll have welcome you as to what you need to do. Greet one another. Greet those around you. Make sure everyone's warmly welcomed this morning.
All right. Well, you can take your seats. Isn't that fun? You know, sometimes the presence of God is just so powerful, it shuts the sound system right off. Oh, that was great. Or maybe he wanted us to just be quiet for a minute, which is okay too. Oh, that's so fun. Welcome, everybody. We are so glad that you're here. I'm going to have a video to show you of my sweetie, Mike, in Guatemala. But first, I just want to let you know that over the spring break, there will be some kids and youth activities happening, not on their regular nights or times, but to stay tuned. And there is a party happening on Friday, March 22nd here, a spring break party for both junior and senior youth happening right here. Tell your friends. So that's that. We wanted to bring you an update. On the March 17th is our Guatemala dessert night. And I could tell you about it, but here's Mike instead.
Hi, CPC family. It's Mike here. Our missions trip to Guatemala has been amazing. If I'm honest, I'm exhausted. I'm ready to come home. I'm looking forward to being with all of you next week on March the 17th. I want to invite you to come back to our church services in the morning. I'm going to return to our Revelation series in the morning, and then in the evening, we're going to gather together, those who would like to hear some reports from our Guatemala missions trips. Those ladies who went in February, as well as the three of us guys who went here in March, will share stories, how this trip has been very, very impacting to us. We have a great opportunity as a church family to be part of helping a nation rebuild by investing into young people and rescuing them from utter poverty and real difficulty in their lives. God's healing little children here, and you and I have a great opportunity to be part of that. Right behind me right now is a volcano. There's another one in the mist behind me there. It's sort of foggy and smoggy today. They're active, pretty exciting. We'd love to tell you more about this trip and what God's doing here. Plan to join us Sunday, September 17th in the evening. I'm picking up some goodies and treats and hot sauces and sweets for you to try from Guatemala as we gather together next Sunday night. I hope to see you in the morning as well as we return to Revelation. God bless you. See you soon.
Oh, I wish he was here to be able to just rub that in. Next Sunday, March 17th at 6:30, join us. Dessert will be provided, and they are just having a great time. The sirens you heard were not happening outside here. They were just in the city there. I think, that was the city. I can't even tell you what it's called, so make sure you come next Sunday night. Let's prepare our heart for the word, and we are blessed to have Pastor Lorne bringing it for the first time today.
Well, good morning again. It sounded windier in Guatemala than it did here last night. I thought it was bad last night, but it sounded pretty windy where Mike was. Last Saturday, not yesterday, but 8 days ago, Heather had a teaching thing in Vancouver. So she decided, it was in the morning, she decided to invite me to come along. To make it, we had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, catch the early ferry and so forth. So I said, how much are they paying you for this? And she said, $300. And I said, by the time we pay a ferry there and back and some mileage and some meals, you're working for expenses. You're making nothing. Like, it's 4 in the morning. Why are you doing this? And I thought maybe she'd say, I get to, go on a road trip with you, spend the day with you. It was not her answer. She said, I'm going to present to 50 volunteer tutors. So these people give a half hour of every week to work with a student that needs some extra assistance. So I'm going to go and give them some strategies and tips on teaching, because it's something they do for their tutors every year. And I thought, I think I've heard a sermon somewhere recently about being blessed to be a blessing. Maybe that's what it was about. And bonus, she got to spend the day with me. Okay. Let's pray, and then we're going to look to some things in the Word. God, we thank you that you have blessed us. You do bless us. And you call us to bless one another, to bless others. So guide us in this time. Help us to see things from your Word that you want us to receive, that you might work in and through us. Amen. Blessed to be a blessing. Ever since Pastor Mike asked if I would preach one of the sermons in this series, I have been thinking of blessing. How we are blessed, how we may be able to bless others, what that all means. And I hope you've been thinking about that too. One of the things Pastor Mike said in his first sermon in this series was that we see this concept of being blessed to be a blessing throughout Scripture. I mean, he started in Genesis, creation, and then Abraham. But he said it's throughout Scripture. And so I've been looking for those things, and I've noticed a number of things. He's right. We see blessed to be a blessing in the passages on spiritual gifts. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So we don't receive spiritual gifts simply so that we can sit back and feel, I am a really gifted person. Isn't that great? No, we receive gifts so that we can serve others, so that we can build up the body of Christ, so we can reach others with the gospel. That's the reason for our gifts. We see blessed to be a blessing in how we express care to one another. In 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. And then it says, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Now, troubles doesn't really sound much like blessing, but the reality is we all go through stuff. There is hardship. And God comforts us in those times. He comes alongside, and other people do too. And the thing we are to do is not just, well, we're comforted, but then he gives us opportunity then to comfort others. So we receive comfort. Now we're able to come alongside others with empathy, with understanding. We're blessed to be a blessing. We see blessed to be a blessing when Jesus sent out his disciples in mission. In Matthew 10, 7 and 8, he said, "As you go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons." And then he said, "Freely you have received, freely give." I mean, the disciples had been with Jesus for a while by this time. They'd watched him in ministry. They'd received from him. Peter's own mother-in-law had been healed. So now Jesus sends them out and he says, "Freely you've received, freely give." You have something and you can give to others. You're blessed to be a blessing. So throughout Scripture, this morning I want to consider another place, another aspect of blessing. And I want to look at a proverb in which we see this concept. Proverbs is a little different kind of literature. Proverbs are short sayings that sort of make a point. And we have some sayings today that are maybe, you know, somewhat similar. You know, don't judge a book by its cover. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. So we have sayings that make a point that we like to use to reinforce things. This morning, I want to consider a proverb in which we see this concept. Now, some proverbs are straightforward. They make immediate sense. You just read them and you know. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Well, you get that, right? Other proverbs you have to think about. 14 verse 4, without oxen, a stable stays clean, but you need a strong ox for a large harvest. And that's probably one that if you're reading devotionally, you just kind of skip over to the next one. And it's somewhat a difficult one. It's translated a little different in different translations. But this is the one that I think makes the most sense. I grew up on a farm. You hate cleaning the barn. It's a messy job. You know, animals do their business and, you know, it's not fun. You would like a really nice clean barn and it to stay that way. And he basically says, well, if you, you know, you have a clean barn, you don't have any animals, you also don't have anything to do the work and you're probably not going to get any harvest. But if you have a good ox, well, you're probably going to have to clean the barn, but you're going to do well. And sometimes life is messy, and it's like that in other jobs too. You know, you can want no troubles at all, maybe just stay in your house and not interact with anyone, but it's actually better to go out, work hard. Sometimes there's troubles, and we have to work through them and do the work. Anyway, that's not, I'm just saying that sometimes we have to work through proverbs. I want to talk about a proverb you may have to think about. When the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. When the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy. That's Proverbs 11:10. So it's telling us this is how we may bring joy to the world, how we may be blessed to be a blessing. But it may not be readily apparent. Who typically rejoices when someone prospers? Well, usually the person who prospers, right? If I have success, I feel pretty good. If you have do well, then you're feeling okay too. But here it says, when the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. So why is that? What's the point of this proverb? Amy Sherman, in her book, Kingdom Calling, Vocational Stewardship for the Common Good, she considers the various elements of this verse. She really works through this verse. It's key to her. So first, the city. The city refers to everyone, the people, the entire population. When the righteous prosper, everyone's happy around. Second, we have the righteous persons. And the Hebrew word is tzaddik. And the plural is tzaddikim, as found in this verse. And Sherman quotes Timothy Keller. The righteous in the book of Proverbs are by definition those who are willing to disadvantage themselves for the community, while the wicked are those who put their own economic, social, and personal needs ahead of the needs of the community. So righteous persons, they think of others first. The wicked persons are those who, it's all about me. And the point is, we're to be the righteous persons. We're to think of others. We're sometimes to disadvantage ourselves so that we may bless others. Let's continue with the key words. The third is prosper. And we tend to think of wealth and material gain. Pastor Laura said often in the Old Testament it is that way, and certainly that's part of prosperity. But to prosper may be to flourish in other ways as well. To prosper here may be to have leadership, power, influence. And our fourth word is rejoice. It's a rare Hebrew word for rejoice. It expresses, you know, significant celebration. This is a big deal. Sherman describes it as dancing in the streets kind of joy, or Pastor Laura seeing the herring kind of joy. It's like the celebration of people who've been delivered from their oppressors. So to summarize, when the righteous, that is those who use their position and resources to work for justice and the good of all, when they prosper and rise to positions of power and influence, people are happy. They do well. Sherman writes, because the Tzaddikim view their prosperity not as a means of self-enrichment, but rather as a vehicle for blessing others, everyone benefits from their success. As the Tzaddikim prosper, they steward everything, their money, their vocational position and expertise, assets, resources, opportunities, education, relationships, social position, and networks for the common good, for the advancing of God's justice and shalom. Now, I read that and I think, well, that sounds amazing. But what does that mean for us? Well, I think it does not mean I sit here and I think, well, if I was the prime minister, okay, even the mayor of the town of Comox, or, you know, was the boss, owner of a company that had 1,000 employees, well, I'd make sure everyone was treated well and I'd care for the marginalized and do all kinds of great things for the people. But I'm not likely to become the prime minister of Canada, so I guess I'll just sit back and cheer when we have a good one and complain when we don't. Well, I'd say no. The point of the proverb is to be the righteous, to work for the good of others rather than pursue selfish interests. This is a proverb about how we use our abilities and influence, whether that's over 1,000 people or whether that's with 10. We're blessed to be a blessing, to use what we have to share God's goodness to others. One of the things we really appreciated when we came to CPC was the mission statement. Bringing the message and ministry of Jesus into everyday life. Too many churches and too many Christians, in my view, think of ministry as something that happens only in the church building, or at least only through church programs. Church ministries are great. I've spent much of my life working in the church. I love the church. But I also believe that the church is much more than coming together on Sundays. Sundays are important. Sundays are great. We get to worship together. We get to care for one another. We get to hear from God. But then we need to also be the church going out into the world. Bring the message and ministry of Jesus into everyday life. It's in our communities, in our schools, in our workplaces that people will benefit from our righteousness and be drawn to Jesus. I think it's wonderful to come on Sunday and to receive a blessing. We need to go from here to be the hands and feet and message of Jesus on Monday and on Tuesday and so on. The next verse in Proverbs, if you're in chapter 11, verse 11 says, it really reinforces the point. It uses the word blessing. Through the blessing of the upright, a city or the people are exalted. But by the mouth of the wicked, it's destroyed. You know, it's easy to complain about wicked people and influences destroying our cities and communities. What we are called to is to bless our communities by being the righteous. We want to be like Jesus. And Jesus also, he contrasted the negative with the positive. You look at John 10:10, very popular verse. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I mean, Jesus saw that. But he said, I have come that they may have life. You may have life. Have it to the full. Have it in abundance. Jesus came proclaiming the kingdom of God. He preached good news and brought about justice and righteousness in the world. As God's people, we join him in his mission. We advance the kingdom. We pursue your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is, you know, by saying we want to promote righteousness, this is not about works righteousness. We do not earn salvation. It is by grace we are saved. However, having received life in Christ, we engage in the good works that he's prepared for us to do. We share the good news of life in Christ. We bring the message and ministry of Jesus into everyday life. I think there are many ways to participate in God's mission. One approach that we may not have given enough attention to is through our work, or what Sherman calls vocational stewardship. God wants a presence of the righteous in the world. Now, Amy Sherman, she finds it helpful to think of righteousness in terms of three dimensions or directions. The first, she says, is up. The tzaddikim live Godward. They're deeply humble. They're people of prayer. So by saying we want to bless others, that doesn't mean we ignore that relationship. All our blessing, all our strength, it all comes from God. With regard to our vocations, this means that the purpose of our lives is to glorify God, not live for self. This means that we practice God's presence in our work. We work as though we're working for the Lord, not for people. It's Colossians 3. The second dimension she talks about is inward. It includes personal holiness, the fruit of the Spirit, and gut-level compassion for the hurting. But we need that within us. She doesn't talk about Peter Scazzaro or emotionally healthy spirituality, but that's where I've been the last number of weeks, is with a group going through this course. And it strikes me that's, you know, we need to be well within. And then third is outward, or what might be called social righteousness. This concerns how we treat our neighbors. You know, if you're an employer, being righteous is treating all your employees well, and your customers and your suppliers and so forth. If you're an employee, it means doing your work for your employer. For all of us, it means being a good neighbor. We bring the message, or we bring the ministry of Jesus into everyday life. We also want to bring the message of Jesus into everyday life. We look for opportunities to share the reason for the hope that we have. Amy Sherman shares some great stories of people who chose to be the tzaddikim. I'll share one. Dan Blevins is a paper chemist who saw himself just as an ordinary guy. In April 2003, he turned 50. He had worked for Dow Chemical Company for 25 years. At a mission conference, he attended a workshop titled Finding Your Place in Ministry, Your Skills Are Needed. The instructor began his presentation stating that regardless of what your skills were, there was a ministry somewhere that could use you. He said he would ask each person about her or his job and then make a recommendation of a ministry that could use those skills. He started around the room, teacher, electrician, nurse. And with each person, he made suggestions for ministries and places in the world that God could use those skills. When the presenter got to Dan, though, he was stumped. He wasn't sure how God could use a paper chemist. From the back of the room, someone called out that they'd met a ministry leader in the exhibitors hall that needed a paper chemist. One of those God things. Dan rushed to the booth after the session. He discovered that Village Handcrafters, a livelihood ministry among squatters outside Manila, had engaged about 40 people in making handmade products from hemp. The enterprise provided jobs and generated revenue to support three Filipino church plants. The ministry's founder said, "We are self-taught amateurs. We really need you to come to the Philippines and help us." Dan says, "That was enough for me. It was clear that God had hooked me up with a ministry that needed my special knowledge." During Dan's first 10-day visit to Manila, he was able to help village handcrafters cut their processing time for a batch of hemp pulp from 9 hours to 3 and to reduce their chemical costs per batch by nearly 90%. Dan reports that it was really in the sweet spot of what he really likes to do, technical problem solving. Dan went on to teach them new wastewater treatment processes and has also gone to Kenya to install water purification systems that utilize the technology that he learned from his work at Dow Chemical. Dan says that while he enjoyed serving in his church through music and recreation ministries, they did not enrich his spiritual life the way this vocational stewardship has. You know, we're all different. On the church website, under volunteering, it says, "If God can use the skills of a paper chemist for the cause of world evangelism, then God can use whatever skills, talents, and willingness to serve he's given you." I think that's blessed to be a blessing. And I'm not suggesting you need to go elsewhere to share your righteousness. It may be right here in your place of work, Monday to Friday, or whatever days you work. You know, Heather's a teacher. She was a classroom grade 5 teacher for a number of years. She's seen the school as her primary place of ministry. And I've watched her over the course of a school year grow to really love her children. And she not only helps students learn, she tries to build them up. I've seen her heart ache for kids, and she's advocated for their special needs. She's taken an interest in their interests. Heather has taken me along to soccer games and the hockey arena and the movie theater to watch her children or to watch a show with her children. Heather was an encourager and a support to her colleagues. Several years ago, one of the staff at her school died of cancer. Heather had sat with her in palliative care. And because of Heather's support, this family, who had no church connection, asked me to lead the memorial service. And almost the whole staff came. And I got to talk about the love of Jesus and the hope of resurrection life there is in Christ. I think it would be great if unbelievers would come to church and hear the gospel, and I rejoice when it happens. But most people are only going to come to Jesus as we bring the message and ministry of Jesus into everyday life, as we go where they are, as we live out righteousness, we care for others, we're willing to be disadvantaged for the good of them and the community. I want to share two more scriptures, a negative and a positive example of what to do with blessing, and then a quote. In Luke 12, Jesus shares a story of a farmer who does really, really well. He has this amazing harvest, must have had a great ox. Has great harvest, doesn't have a place to store all the stuff. And so he decides he's going to build bigger bins and he'll have all this grain stored up for years to come. He's got it made. He's just going to hoard it all to himself and then he'll be able to live life the way he wants to, he thinks. And God has other ideas, and that night he dies, and it did him absolutely no good because he hoarded it all for himself. And I think we should think not just of material prosperity, but, you know, if we isolate ourselves in the church, being with only those who share our values. I think it's good to come together with those who share our values, but not just that, because that may be hoarding our spiritual blessings. And God has blessed us, you know, with the gospel, with other things, so that we can take it beyond. The second scripture is in 2 Kings 7. The background actually begins in chapter 6. The Arameans had come with their king and their army. They had surrounded this city in Israel that was Samaria. And, rather than attack the city, which was a walled city, they just laid siege to it. They just waited out there. They were going to just starve them out. And it really got very desperate for the people. I mean, if you read some of what they did. It's gruesome. They were just desperate, and they were hungry, and they didn't know what to do, but they didn't want to surrender. And so there they are, and the king blames Elisha, who's in the city, and Elisha ends up having this word that, you know, just tomorrow, it's all going to change. And people think, well, that's impossible. While this is all going on, there's four lepers, and they're outside the city gate. They belong to Israel, but they're sort of caught in this weird zone where they're not in the city, but the other enemies out there. But they're also getting pretty hungry, and they talk to one another, and they decide, well, you know, if we go in the city, there's no food there. We're going to die. If we go out to the camp of the Arameans, well, we may die. They might kill us, but maybe they'll have mercy, so at least there's a hope. So they decide they're going to go out there. And they go out to these tents with this big camp of the Arameans, and God had caused this incredible noise that sounded like a mighty army coming against them, and the Arameans had gotten scared, and they had all fled for their lives. And man, they go into this first tent, and there's food, and there's wine, and there's gold and silver and clothes, and you know they start feasting, and they bury or they hide some of the treasure that they've taken. They're just having a really good time, and they go to the next tent, and all of a sudden it dawns on them. You know, the people back in our city, the people who kind of rejected us because we were lepers and stuck us outside, but they're still our people. We care for them. They're starving, and they say, oh, we're not doing right. We have good news, and we shouldn't keep it to ourselves. And so they decide, they go to, rather than just hoarding everything that they could possibly get their hands on, they go and they share. And I know that the story in the bigger picture is about, you know, God's miraculous delivery of his people and working through Elisha, but sometimes there's a subplot in the story, and I look at these lepers and their whole discovery and their attitude. You know, we have good news and we shouldn't keep it to ourselves. And I think the same is true for us, right? We're blessed with the gospel, with the good news of salvation by grace through faith, the gospel of Jesus. Now, I realize it was easier for the lepers to share the good news with their starving people of Samaria than it is for us to share Jesus in our community. I mean, many people today, they don't know that they're hungry. And so we try to share the bread of life and isn't always received right away. But I believe that as we bring the message and ministry of Jesus into everyday life, as we are the Tzaddikim, as the Holy Spirit works in those situations because we pray about these people that we love and care about, God will do amazing things. And so we need to keep that hope before us because he's given us a ministry of blessing. Further down in Proverbs 11, verse 25, it says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. As we give to others. Just a couple things that I thought of by application here. One is that we should be people who are always seeing the importance of everyday life. That it's Sunday is great, but we need to also see what God wants to do through the week. And then I would say, ask God for opportunities to bless others, to share the message and ministry of Jesus, made it work at school, wherever you are, in your neighborhood. I want to conclude with a quote by George MacLeod. He says, I simply argue that the cross be raised again at the center of the marketplace as well as the steeple of the church. I am recovering the claim that Jesus was not crucified in a cathedral between two candles, but on a cross between two thieves, on a town garbage heap, at a crossroad of politics so cosmopolitan they had to write his title in Hebrew and in Latin and in Greek. And at the kind of place where cynics talk smut and thieves curse and soldiers gamble, because that is where he died. And that is what he died about. And that is where Christ's men and women ought to be and what church people ought to be about. We are blessed, and we get to bring the message and ministry of Jesus into everyday life to be the righteous people of God. God bless you.
Amen. Let's all stand together.
We get to build our lives on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. I know many of you are you're doing what I talked about. You're bringing the message and ministry of Jesus into everyday life. I look forward to hearing more and more of your stories of what God is doing through you, and we will celebrate those things together. Let's just pray. Oh God, we thank you for all you have done for us in Jesus. That we have received such abundance. You have ministered to our hearts in such amazing ways. We live in a world that is hurting, that is very much in need of you. So help us to be your righteous people, living our faith, the Holy Spirit working through us to touch other people, that they also might receive the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Guide us as we go from here to live for you throughout the week, every day. In Jesus' name, amen. God be with you.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.